Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
We've talked about it quite a bit on this show. You know, it used to be you could watch, you go, you want to watch the Red Sox, you go to Nesson. You want to watch, you know, football on a Sunday, you go to CBS, you know, or Fox. And now with every sport, especially like the NBA and MLB, it's all over the place. Streaming services, subscription services. What the result for me has been, I'm watching fewer sports because it's not that I can't find them, and it's not that I wouldn't pay, but I won't pay for them. And so, like, I don't know if this is the model that is going to work, but it seems to be the model that we are going to have. I also want to talk about, you know, a little bit, it's a touchy subject, but, you know, the impact on the media with Charlie Kirk and maybe this $15 billion lawsuit the Trump administration has filed against the New York Times. And, of course, we like to go to a lot of media issues with Rich Hanley, Professor Emeritus at Quinnipiac University. Professor, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How are things with you?
Things are great, and I appreciate the time. I hope life is treating you well. I guess I could put it up for bid. I mean, let's start with the sports stuff, because obviously these leagues are chasing the not just the biggest dollar, but also what the future is in terms of consumption. And for me, I'm not really in the demo as much anymore. I'm 53, soon to be 54. But I'll tell you, I'm watching less sports because it's too hard to find.
It is. It has become a chore to find the game you want to watch. And one of the miracles of the television age was that it used to be easy and understandable to find the game you wanted to watch when you wanted to watch it. Now, on the NFL, you really have to go online and say, where's this game televised? Is it CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, Netflix, or Amazon? And so the fragmentation of the media is reflected in the coverage of sports, you know, not only the NFL, but the upcoming NBA season is going to be an interesting attempt, you know, by the league to stream its games and to help people find it. And it's happened with MLB, with the regional sports networks, you know, collapsing, and the game's just all over the place. Is it on Nesson, Nesson Plus, and for the Red Sox, and, you know, and the Yankees and whatnot with Yes and et cetera. So it's kind of a mess right now, but people should just use a search, an internet search to find out where is my game in my area.
But I'm curious.
That's the fastest way.
Yeah. I guess my curiosity from a media watcher standpoint is that obviously these streaming services, Amazon and Netflix, have a lot of money. And so if the leagues are looking for money and to continually to increase what they get, I get it. But is there a point where, like, there might be a diminishing return and they might say, well, this model is too fractured, or you just think this is the way it's going to be?
Well, I think it's the way it's going to be because the money is there. We're talking billions of dollars. I mean, YouTube, you know, was a platform for Sunday Ticket, you know, and no longer DirecTV. So you have to go and try to, you know, hunt down these streaming services, but you also have to pay for them. And you have to, you know, pay for them. YouTube TV is very expensive, for example. You have to pay, you know, for Amazon Prime through your Amazon Prime subscription, or you have to pay directly to Netflix. You know, ESPN is going to the direct-to-consumer model, which means you'll have to pay for that. In the local market, the law states that you should get your game over the air, but that's just in the local market game. That's it.
Right.
So otherwise, you're going to be paying for, A, your internet connection, then, B, you're going to be paying for your subscription service to see the games that you really, really want to see. And this was something predicted by the defensive back Bernie Parrish of the Cleveland Browns in the early 1970s, when he wrote a book called They Call It a Game. He said, sooner or later, the NFL is going to go to a pay-to-watch model. And first it was with cable, now it's with the streaming services. So to watch the NFL, you're going to be paying twice, once for the subscription and second for the time in the ads that you need to watch between plays, between possessions.
You know, it's funny. Maybe it's just me being old. I mean, between Red Zone and this stuff, I just used to like the 1 o'clock, the 4 o'clock game. I tolerated the Sunday night and Monday night, but it just, I like the linear relationship I had with the NFL. And now it's, I can't even watch a Patriots game because my kids won't let me not watch Red Zone. So
yeah, yeah, you know, it just goes to the younger generation, say, has a shorter attention span, so Red Zone is built for them. But, you know, but there's a price for that. You know, you're just getting, you know, basically that within the 20 look, but your mind is fragmented. How can you be a fan of a team if you don't see that team grow, if you don't see that team play, you know, for 60 minutes of football?
Are you listen, we only have like 2.5 minutes, and we'll have to have you back because I don't think – do you want to talk Charlie Kirk or the New York Times lawsuit? I'm going to give you a choice.
Oh, I could do both. I mean, the New York Times lawsuit, you know, that's really an attempt just to use intimidation, because the lawsuit itself, from what I read in it, has little basis, you know, in terms of the First Amendment of winning. It's just there. Maybe they'll get a settlement. But the New York Times is different because the New York Times doesn't have a lot of relations with government, unlike the broadcast networks, which right. need the FCC, etc. The Charlie Kirk murder is really disturbing, obviously, but it also shows how the mainstream media and online worlds are two separate and distinct realities in terms of the coverage, the terms of the reach, the terms of the commentary, etc. Because the real story now is evolving to be the reaction to the murder and what is happening online. It's like this subterranean river that, if you don't, unless you're part of online community, you really don't see it. But it's quite disturbing at the threats that are going across online platforms, and the chances of that spilling over into real life increase, and that would be doubly tragic for the United States.
Yeah. It's a tough situation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I get criticized by both sides, but I mean, we're trying to talk about things honestly. Now, they're also conflating things, you know, between hate speech and the tragic assassination. I think they're two separate conversations. But listen, Rich, I know I'm going to talk to you later. Let's come in studio. Let's do something where we can sit down for an hour, because there's so much media conversation to have.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll set that up when we talk a little bit later. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, Rich Hanley, again, from Quinnipiac University, professor emeritus, ran the journalism program there. And again, he's been monitoring this stuff for absolute ever.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.